In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For many years, Father Alexander Schmemann broadcast over Radio Free Europe into the world that was in bondage to the atheistic government that controlled Russia and Eastern Europe, Radio Free Europe. And often he was asked if he might collect those sermons that he gave in those years so that they could be appreciated and read by everyone who hadn't heard those broadcasts. Near the end of his life, once cancer had begun to interrupt his regular schedule of study and teaching and preaching, finally he did gather those sermons together in a set of three small books. And the third of those books is devoted to sermons about the Mother of God, the Theotokos. And one of those sermons is given for this particular day, the day of the entrance of the Theotokos into the temple. And Father Schmemann begins by pointing out the nature of a feast day in the church and how different our feast days are from the feasts of the secular world. And some of our feasts, of course, the secular world has taken to itself and made into feasts that celebrate the things of the world, most notably the feast that we are in the midst of this fast and preparing for, the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But the feasts of the church are always, he says, breakings through into this world, into this world of toil and drudgery, where we spend all of our time trying to gather together the things of the world, trying to fight off what is actually our fear of the presence of death in the world, to give ourselves a false sense of security and then believe that we are secure, like the rich man in the parable today, who felt secure in the things of this world, and all of it evaporates. That's the world that we live in, ordinarily, from day to day. It has its own values. It has its own principles. We forget about the fact that there is an ultimate world, the way this world was created to be. We forget that we ourselves are not the way we were created to be in the beginning. We forget all of that. And when the feast days come, they break into that ordinary world and they reveal the world that we've forgotten about, a world of brightness and light and eternal values that go far beyond our efforts to gather the things of this world. Each one of the feast days is like that. They are like holes poked into this world where the brightness of eternal life, including our calling to live an eternal life of our own, is generally forgotten about. The feast of the entrance of the Theotokos is one of those great feasts. It isn't simply another point in the continuing story leading up to a particular day that we celebrate. It is itself an explosion into this world of a new event that changes everything. In human religion, until this point, the relationship between God and ourselves, human beings, has been like this. There is beyond us, beyond this created world, beyond we created beings, a mysterious, tremendous reality that is other than this world, other than ourselves. It is eternal. It is unknown. It is beyond us. It is uncreated. And in its presence, we tremble, mere creatures that we are. That is the relationship between God and every human being until he decides to change that relationship and establish an intimacy with us that the Jews themselves had never even expected. That change begins with the entrance of the Theotokos into the temple. Father Shmemin says, it is a simple enough event. A small girl is taken by her parents down to this huge and magnificent temple in Jerusalem, the same temple that one day her son will preach in the courtyard of. This small girl is taken into the temple, just as many children at that time were taken to the temple in order to establish some contact between them and God, some sense of ultimate value, so that they have a point beyond themselves and know that this is where the real center of things is. It is essential for all of us. We all, as parents, hope and pray that during the course of our children's lives with us as they grow, that they at least take this from us. There is something ultimate and beyond yourself that gives everything of your life and this world value. There is something toward which you can turn, no matter how difficult things get. This is the direction that you turn to. That's why people would take their children to the temple. And so, Mary's parents also took her to the temple. But this was an unusual event, unlike any other time that a child had been brought to the temple. She was taken into the temple, and according to the hymnography that we sing in celebration of this feast day, she was taken by the priest beyond the point where people are generally permitted to go, up before the curtain of the Holy of Holies. Only a priest may be there. And yet, we sing that she is taken to that point in the temple because she is the one who is going to be the mother of God. She is the one who is going to be chosen to bring God into the world so that he will join our humanity. God himself will become one of us through her. You know, there's something that seems very difficult for those who grow up in our Western society to understand. It has certainly to do with our overemphasis on the absolute individualism of the meaning of life for every one of us. That is not the reality. Each one of us is an individual, that's for sure. We don't have to worry about losing who we are. We don't have to go and find ourselves. There are plenty of mirrors. Go look, there you are. You've found yourself. Save yourself a lot of trouble. And then start using the person that you are to deal with the same world that all other human beings have got to deal with, by way of the same humanity that all of us have to use in order to deal with the realities of the world. The thing that changes is that God joins himself to humanity. God changes that balance of distance between ourselves and the mysterious, tremendous reality that he is, that uncreated being that he is, joins himself to us through Mary. In our services, there is a priest who does the things that a priest does. He is ordained to do that. He has to be ordained, commanded to go and to do those things so that they can be done. But he doesn't act as an isolated individual. He acts as the one of us who is doing that part that needs to be done. Just like every other thing that needs to be done during the Divine Liturgy. And you know, when I made that little video about the icons in the church, without realizing it, when I came to the part where I talked about the priest sensing and the priest entering into the sanctuary during the entrance with the Gospels, during the entrance with the chalice and the paten, I said, we enter, because that's what it is. It isn't just the priest entering. When the priest enters, we enter. The curtain is open, the doors open so that we can enter into the kingdom. We are limited beings in space and time, and these things need to be physically done, and so someone needs to go and do it. We don't have to all rush in as isolated individuals, otherwise we're not included. That's not the way it is. I remember shortly after my ordination, Father Alexander Schmemann came and asked me how it was going for me, serving as a priest, serving at the altar. And I told him, I think I'm reaching the point that I can at least pray at the altar. And what I meant was that I wasn't so transfixed by the fact that I was where I was, doing the things that I was doing, that I wasn't able to pray to God. That's what I was telling him. But Father Schmemann mentioned to me, after he said, that's good, that's fine, I think he knew what I meant, said, now what you need to do is be able to have the people pray through you. The priest is there for the people to pray through. We are all one in Christ. What the priest does, we all are doing. We have been united to God through Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, when Abraham moves, it says, Abraham moves, and it means when Abraham goes from place to place, all of Abraham's people go from that place to another place. All of those who will descend from him, they go from one place to another. The people of Israel, in later times, they think of themselves as all moving along with Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, because there is a oneness, a unity among human beings that has only been lost by the fall. But the reality is, as when Jesus says, love your brother, your neighbor, as yourself. And the scriptural meaning is, your brother, your neighbor, is yourself. We are one another. I cannot be me without all of you. None of you can be who you are without all of the rest. The sense of radical separation of us one from another and from God is part of the fall. It's part of what is dealt with by Christ. And when Mary comes to the temple, we all come to the temple in this small child, this humble little girl. This is the way you come to the temple of the Lord. This is the way you are led up to the Holy of Holies, where none of us has the right to be, just as none of us has the right to stand before the altar and do the things that must be done, because those are the things that Christ is doing, and we only do them along with him. I'm not doing them alone, I'm doing them, all of us are doing them along with Christ. That's what's going on there. And when Mary comes into the temple, it's the same thing. Our humanity in her, specifically and particularly, not in some abstract idea, but in this little girl, our humanity is being brought into the temple up to the Holy of Holies. God will unite himself to our humanity through her. The entrance of the one who is to be the temple of Christ is entering into the temple of the Lord. That's what we see. It is her body that gives body to God. This is a tremendous mystery, that this could even be done. And of course, had it not been that God decided that this was what he was going to do, it couldn't be. It's not possible. It's the beginning of his new creation. And when Jesus says later on in the Gospels, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it again, St. John adds in that Gospel, he was speaking of his body. Destroy this body, this, the temple of God, And in 3 days, it will be rebuilt. Because this is the living temple of God. This, the human body of the human person. That's what it means when Mary enters into the temple. She is the one whose body will be the body of God. We are at one with her because we share our humanity. And we are not, and this is the truth, divided from one another. We are one with one another as human beings. Her body is our body. And the body of Christ is our body because it was her body, our body. He enters into the body of our humanity and is born into the world in order to make it possible for us to live divine lives. And new teaching comes into the world as a result of this event. And that new teaching is in the form of a man. He is the teaching. And the teaching is God and ourselves united as one. It is revealed that this is our calling. And it may be that many of us would prefer not to know that this is what it means for every single human being to be a human being. That we are meant to be divine. That we are meant to cast off our bondage to this world. Cleanse ourselves. And accept that this is our destiny. We reject that calling most of the time. We would prefer that God remain distant as he always had been. And that we go about our business in this world, doing the things that we can do ourselves without him. And as he is so distant, occasionally we can turn to him and ask him for something that would help out a little bit as we go about our business. That's how we would really prefer for things to be. We didn't pray to have it revealed to us that God is with us in our humanity, that he is inescapable because we are created in the image and likeness of God, and this is our calling. All of these things are revealed for the first time on this day when Mary enters the temple. It is revealed that our humanity is meant to join with the divinity of God, and all of us are called to that life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.